listening to KBOO Morning. You are listening to KBOO Boomer on the last day. Boom on last Thursday. And the last day of 2015. And the last day of 2015.
Coming up this morning in about an hour, join us for Flashpoints.
In about an hour, war and more war in Iraq.
War and also, more today war we'll have in a frontline report.
Also, today we'll have to get money for states, universities, and corporations to divest their investments in the private industry.
And we'll have an update on the battle against nuclear power and the new battle worldwide.
At 11 today, we'll hear a special hour-long program on life and work of blacklisted Hollywood actress Marsha Hunt,
humanitarian hunt and activist.
But first, Teresa Mitchell is up hosting Presswatch with news you're not supposed to know.
With news,
so make way, she's coming in any minute
so
now
way,
here
she's
on Kaboom.
Hey, thank you, KBOO members, for your support during 2015.
Members, for you keep this station on the air. You least think of station in the year. We greatly appreciate it.
On Friday, January 1st, 8 to 10 a.m., Sunday Night Collective, will be hosting Rose Festival. We'll be hosting the future television to channel the future world meeting at 8 a.m. and turn the volume down. Turn your radio to KBOO's service straight to the internet. Second screen, find it on KBOO.FNKB for the Rose.Parade. For the Monday Night Collective to take the Monday Night Collective's parade on the Rose Friday, Parade, January 1st, 8 to 10 a.m. January 1st, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday Night Collective will be the Night Collective, the Rose Festival. The Rose Festival.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory. The grant from providing a resource directory of openly gay-friendly businesses of organization-friendly and services since 1996. Services. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Android. Available for more information and Android. You can visit for more information. You can visit gaypdx.com.
Watch a weekly counter-propaganda and leftist opinion program here on KBOO, the beloved free radio station, KBOO Portland. Radio station, KBOO Portland. I am Teresa Mitchell. And I am Teresa Mitchell.
Bringing you the news you're not supposed to know.
Bringing you the news you're not supposed to know. All right, I'm going to follow on. All right, I'm going to make news follow on. Locally, with a press release,
from the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform,
for Justice and Police Reform. The news release says, He was
left to bleed out. This is the way the cops kill you. Bleed out. They don't want you to testify. They don't want anything contradicting. Testify and later and contradicting. Bleed out.
You get shot.
They let you bleed out.
You get shot.
Well, they'll just, or, you know, you have a little trouble breathing there. Or, you know, you have a little trouble breathing there.
And they handcuffed him
to death.
So returning to the news release,
with problems being assigned to ministry jobs and other areas of the Bureau to minimize interactions with the public, to coalition and protest at the arbitrator's decision in April 2012, and applauded the city's decision to file an appeal and asserting the right to make decision for final decisions. The reinstatement of press charges, the reinstatement of contentious a long line of arbitration, are continued along turning the firings of officers who overturning use deadly force. Otherwise, make action used often targeted at communities of color.
I'm going to read the list backward.
In one case, the victim, Dennis Young, was white. In one case, where the victim, Jeffrey Tanner, was white. Their care was reinstated after being fired for shooting and killing Young in 2006. Officers Greg Warren and Jim Galloway, Officer Craig Torres and Jed Galloway, on fire for the forge of a block on business in 1981, were reinstated. Officers Richard Monty and Paul Wickersham, fired for selling t-shirts reading "Don't Choke on Smoke" on t-shirts, after an officer choked African-American security guard Lloyd Jones. In 1985, were reinstated. In 1985, officer Douglas Erickson, who shot and wounded African-American Gerald Grant, shot and wounded in 1993, was reinstated. Back in 1993, Scott McAllister, who was suspended for 6 months after shooting and killing African-American Kendrick James in 2003, Kendrick James was reinstated with back pay. For more information, visit the AMA Coalition website and visit albinaministerialcoalition.org. There's more. They write the AMA Coalition for Justice and the AMA Coalition for Justice
is working towards these five goals. First,
is working towards the federal investigation by the Justice Department to include criminal and civil rights violations, as well as federal rights violations and practices of the Portland Police Bureau. Second, strengthening the independent police. Second, review the independent and the Citizen Review Committee Division with the goal of adding power to compel testimony. With the goal of adding power to compel testimony. A full review of the Bureau's excessive force and deadly review of the Bureau's trends of diverse citizen performance policies and purposing making recommendations to change policy and training. Fourth, to change policy in the state legislature, narrowing the language of the state legislature and narrowing the language used by police officers and the force used by establishing a special prosecutor for policing excessive force and deadly force cases. Excessive force, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform Coalition, these three principles and police reform policies. First, embraces five goals. Second, accepts the principles of nonviolent direct action as enunciated by Dr. Martin Luther King as enunciated by Dr. Martin Luther King. Third, team in concert to achieve the goals. Team in concert to achieve the goals.
That's a press release.
There will be a picket lining news conference today.
Picket lining news conference at City Hall
today.
That's going to be at 11:30 a.m.
Might be at 11 this morning. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-181-8187.
I'm going to be a little stumbly today.
I don't know if you're like me, but windy and dry and high pressure.
So
I can't sleep.
I had to think lots of interesting thoughts last night. So I'll probably trip over my tongue a lot.
Now this is KBOO Portland. Now this is KBOO 503-231. The number called is 503-231-8181. Happy New Year to you. It's New Year's Eve. New Year to you. And that means that this, and that pretty much that this is your last chance to,
let's say, 50 bucks.
From the federal government,
Because, you know, federal government
taxes,
because,
and
you know,
taxes.
because if you haven't contributed, you feel like a lot of Americans. KBOO.FM. If you try KBOO.org, that'll work too.
Doesn't
try
matter.
KBOO.org, that'll work too.
KBOO matter. On the web.
You'll see our bright new color on the web. You'll see our colorful web circle.
Right, and you'll see that there is an image of a jar.
You'll see that there is
an image of a jar on the upper right side of the jar.
And when you do, you'll see a jar.
And that there are various ways to join. And why not just join it? And why not just handle it?
You're going to get that money back. Because as you know,
that money back.
Because as you know, there is a $50 threshold for
the contributing
threshold for contributing.
To nonprofit organizations, and KBOO is a nonprofit organization,
then 501 is 3C, 504
is a C3C,
is a nonprofit organization,
you can do that. And this is
you can do this chance. Come on.
And this is
you know, you're not going to do it while you're partying.
So what you're going to do while you're partying,
KBOO.FM right now, because KBOO.FM.
And like I said, you're going to get $50 back. So why not?
Like I said, you're going to get $50
back. Become a $60 member and get yourself a t-shirt or something else
that you'll find right there on KBOO.FM.
You'll find right there on KBOO.FM.
So this is Press Watch. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 9 a.m.
Some headlines.
Continuing on the theme of
the Israeli regime has detained at least 6,830 Palestinians since the beginning of the year.
That's according to the Palestinian Prisoners Committee.
According to a report by a Middle Eastern monitoring publication on Tuesday, the detention rate in 2015 on Tuesday,
the detention rate is 7% higher than last year.
This is from Radio Vienna, Cuba.
This is from Radio Vienna,
based on figures released.
Based on figures by the committee,
4,075 Palestinians were detained in the occupied West Bank,
2,353 in Jerusalem, and the rest from various locations.
In Jerusalem and the siege of Gaza Strip,
the PBC also said that 2,179 of those arrested in 2015
were minors, aged between 11 and 18
were minors, aged between 11 and 72% increase
since last year.
The report added 225 Palestinian women were arrested in 2015,
double the figure
were arrested in 2015.
According to the Palestinian
Liberation Organization,
the Tel Aviv regime also issued over 650
administrative detention orders
this year, over China,
which detention orders
occurred during the last 3 months.
Also, on Tuesday,
Israel issued 53 administrative detention orders,
53 administrative
from durations of 2 to 6 months,
from durations of 2 to 6 months.
So-called administrative detention is a type of imprisonment.
Administrative detention
is a charge that allows Israel to incarcerate Palestinians
for less than 6 months.
Detention orders
can be renewed for indefinite periods of time,
can be renewed for indefinite
order for a Palestinian
prisoner society.
For 36 of the orders were given to
recently detained people.
The orders were given to
17 were issued
while prisoners being held in Israeli jails
for months being able to
years. Years.
Jails.
For months and even
years. Related news.
The Republicans are all up in arms in Congress.
Republicans are all up in arms
in Congress.
The NSA has been spying on Israel.
The NSA has been spying on Israel.
You know, if there's one thing I really don't give a damn if the NSA does,
it's spying on foreign country.
The NSA does,
it's spying on
holy Israel.
We don't know. We don't know
holy
Israel.
We don't want to know what they're doing with all the free money,
good Lord.
Number to call with your comments and questions,
503-231-817-521-2518-187.
Happy New Year,
1-8-1-8-7.
Happy New Year.
Let's talk about whiteness for a minute here. I've been reading Ta-Nehisi Coates' book. Went down to Powell with a gift card. Powell's books, and that's a union shop, you know. And went down there and bought a copy, full price, hardback. It is a top seller, so you got to pay the penny for it. But I'll loan mine out when I'm done reading it. And it is indeed a ripping read and a very significant book. It's appropriate that it has received awards. So we can talk about that book if you like. The In Counterpunch, Garrick I. Chingo writes, "This week marks the 150th anniversary of the founding of America's deadliest terrorist organization, the Ku Klux Klan." And already diverting from what is written here and speaking for myself, this is relevant because we're talking about police departments, which are notoriously infiltrated with Klan members. Returning to the text, since September 11th, 2001, extremists associated with various far-right wing ideologies, including the KKK and Jewish extremists, have killed far more people in the United States than extremists motivated by radical Islam. One centuries-old example of U.S. government double standards when it comes to terrorism is the infamous Ku Klux Klan. The Klan has terrorized and killed far more Americans than Islamic terrorists ever have. And despite being America's oldest terrorist organization, the U.S. government does not officially consider the KKK a terrorist organization, classifying it merely as a hate group. Your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. By classifying the Klan's action as hate rather than terror, the U.S. government allows the Klan, unlike ISIS, to freely hold rallies in America, fundraise, and even appear on TV to promote their ideology. Recently, Frank Ancona, a Klan leader, appeared on national television and threatened lethal force against black protesters. By the way, all the people who have said to me over the years, well, you don't want to start militating against free speech, go ahead and call in. I have something to explain to you. I won't be particularly harsh, just a little snarky. The time is 9:15. Number to call, 503-231-8187. The Klan was founded just days after slavery was abolished in America, and ever since then, bombings, lynching, tar and featherings, and other violent forms of terrorism on those challenging white supremacy have always been the hallmark of the Klan. And I might add, speaking for myself, and they have been, you know, quite numerous in police departments. At its peak in the 1920s, Klan membership exceeded the equivalent of 8 million Americans nationwide. And he writes, the simple fact is that to this day, the U.S. government refuses to designate the KKK as a domestic terrorist organization. And that fact speaks volumes about the nation's commitment to combating terrorism and promoting racial equality. The deadliest terrorist attack on U.S. soil prior to 9/11 was the Oklahoma City bombing, which was masterminded by Timothy McVeigh, a man who had deep ties to far-right Nazi militant circles. In 2011, Kevin Harpham, who was a war veteran, placed a bomb along the route of Martin Luther King Jr. Day parade. In 2012, Wade Michael Page killed six innocent people in a shooting at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Remember that? Page was a member of a white supremacist band and associated with the Hammerskins, a violent neo-Nazi group. A few months ago, an Imperial Grand Wizard of the Klan from Kansas went on a killing spree whilst shouting Heil Hitler, in which a 14-year-old boy was among the dead. Despite their growing number of mass shootings and terrorist attacks by the far right, the media chooses to focus almost exclusively on the lesser threat of radical Islam. Media pundits routinely demand that moderate Muslims condemn acts of violence perpetrated by Muslims. And he writes, when was the last time that you have seen white priests being pressured to go on television to denounce violence by white supremacists in order to show that not all Christians are like that? How long would a Muslim group with as violent a record as the Klan be allowed to operate freely before it was shut down by Homeland Security? And clearly, racism, as much as oil, fuels the war on terror. The threat of homegrown Islamic terrorism has been largely manufactured so that the so-called war on terror can promote profitable militarism abroad and erode civil liberties at home. Speaking for myself, this rings true. This article rings true for me. It is on Counterpunch. And you can find that at counterpunch.org. Yeah, how come we have to shuffle in our socks at the airport? I mean, that's a silly thing anyway, when you consider there's also been an underwear bomber. Remember the fruit of the boom? Well, why don't they check our underwear? And is there some reason why we can't have an explosive tie? Maybe all ties should be checked. I mean, it's just it's a pretty transparent act of intimidation against the American people. And for those of you who don't travel abroad, having traveled abroad in the last few years, a couple times, I can tell you, you know, other countries aren't silly about that. We're the silly ones. You don't have to take your shoes off when you come back from Argentina or Mexico. FBI data from 1980 to 2005 shows that Jewish terrorists committed 7% of the acts of, well, I should go back on the article, and it says, so why then has the U.S. spent over $6 trillion on the war on terror? Jewish terrorists committed 7% of the acts of terrorism in the United States, which is more than 6% committed by Islamic extremists. So, who's got the upper hand here? This statistic is made even more remarkable by the fact that the FBI drastically undercounts instances of terrorism perpetrated by Jewish extremists because of institutional racial double standards. How many Americans can name the Jewish Defense League or Jewish Armed Resistance, both terror groups that have committed more acts of terror than their Muslim counterparts? The infamous Jewish Defense League has been operating in the U.S. for over half a century. A Department of Energy report on terror threats to nuclear facility notes, quote, "For more than a decade, the Jewish Defense League has been one of the most active terrorist groups in the United States," end quote. Unbeknown to many Americans, these Jewish extremists have mail-bombed police, targeted UN ambassadors, and firebombed civilians at a symphony orchestra performance. If the U.S. government is serious about combating domestic terror and mass shootings, the FBI's statistics suggest that it should be aggressively surveilling white males. The simple fact that U.S. law enforcement has not infiltrated and spied on conservative, Christian, or Jewish communities to disrupt violent right-wing extremism confirms what Muslim Americans know in their bones: to worship Allah is to be a suspect. Muslim Americans increasingly feel as though they are living in a totalitarian police state with worsening harassment, profiling, and surveillance by the state. Researcher Arun Kudnani has shown that the FBI has one counterterrorism spy for every 94 Muslims in the U.S., which approaches totalitarian East Germany's infamous spy agency Stasi's ratio of one spy for every 66 citizens. We're getting close to that world record. But oh no, we're the land of the free. We're not a police state. Well, I was speaking for myself again. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Franny's on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you're covering a lot of ground, but I wanted to go back a little bit to the Congress being upset about Israel being spied on. You know, I just think it's so absurd. Everybody is being spied on every day, all around the world. It's like when Dianne Feinstein got all upset that her staff was being spied on. Like, oh, shocker, you know? I mean,
I'm kind of glad she got a heads up on that, though.
What's that?
Kind of glad she got a heads up on that, though. I mean, on the fact that the spy agencies just feel themselves to be completely above all law and all rule by the people.
Right, but I just think it's hilarious when politicians who, and I can guarantee you the people at the top are the most spied on of any of us, right? They can't do anything without being spied on. So, you know, it's totally disingenuous of these Congress people to act shocked, you know? I mean,
and they are confronted with what the spy agencies, if you are a major politician, and if you think that you can go an opposite direction or a variant direction from what the spy agencies want, then you will be confronted. You can pretty much count on it with records of things that could be construed to be your bad actions. And certainly the CIA director did that back in 1975, and it was remarked on at the time, but secret police agencies do that all the time. His name was Helms. And that's why that church committee got shut down. It's like they all the members of the committee were suddenly found out that what they had done was known.
Right, right. Anyway, it's such posturing.
Well, I think you're right about that. Happy New Year to you.
Anyway, what's that?
Happy New Year to you.
Oh, yeah, Happy New Year. Hopefully it'll be a little bit, we'll be going into a more transparent year here.
Anything could happen.
Not on more, but finding out more about what's really going on, so. Anyway, take care.
Thanks. Right on. Thanks for the call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Happy New Year. And if you haven't contributed, why not do it before midnight at kbo.fm. It's so quick. You could do it right now. And you could get that money out of Uncle Sam's hands, out of the Pentagon's hands, and into KBOO's. And we'll do, well, you know what we'll do with it. Number to call, once again, 503-231-8187. Thank you, engineer. And Damus is on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. It's real interesting you're bringing up the U.S.'s first terrorist group. I was, right before you gave the answer, I was guessing CIA myself, but you nailed it with the Ku Klux Klan. It's interesting that you brought that up as well. I mean, the Black Panthers were were a group that came up and they implemented a free breakfast and lunch program before it became standard for the U.S. government to do so. They were a self-defense group years before it became trendy for whites to do the same. And they never killed anyone at all, but they're a terrorist group as well. So that's real interesting. It's interesting that environmental and animal rights groups are designated as a terrorist, but the same designation isn't given to white Christian groups, including those who bomb and shoot up abortion clinics. But yes, that's the standard in this country, though. So
isn't it amazing how one word can be so charged? Terrorist. You know, you don't want to call someone a terrorist or say that you're a terrorist. And when I was much younger, it used to be communist. And I used to be able to make people jump just by saying the word communist loud, like when I was standing in line for a theater.
So communist is coming back, too. Everyone is scared of communists once again.
Well, I guess I'll have to be scared of me, then.
It's real funny how these things like come around full circle. But anyways, thank you for what you're doing. I'm glad that you're on the air, even though you come on just once a week, even though work usually prevents me from listening to you. I'm very glad for what you do here. So keep
it
up.
Thanks for the call. Happy New Year. Okay, the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I've been talking about racially biased oppression in the United States and started off with the fact that at 11:30, the Albina Ministerial Coalition has called for a picket and demo out in front of City Hall in downtown Portland, 4th Avenue, 4th and Main approximately. And that is most recently triggered by the fact that Officer Ron Freshour, who gunned down one of our fellow citizens in the back using a war rifle, has been reinstated. And, of course, it's not really about that one thing. If there was that one thing, I'm sure that it would be cause for pickets and demonstrations. But the context is far bloodier, isn't it? About 500 years worth of bloody. And this is an interesting time in American history where I think there is a possibility with the use of video cameras and the use of the internet, it may be possible that some people somewhere are waking up. Or will it all go away? Will it be eclipsed? I mean, it's so easy for our rulers to make us jump, to stage another, and I mean that sincerely, and I can back it up, to stage another terrorist event. Frighten us in some way. I have another category of information that I would like to get to. There's much more to that article I was reading from and commenting on by Garakai Chingu, scholar at Harvard University. He was writing at Counterpunch about, you know, why is it that the KKK gets a pass? It's a terrorist organization. And since no one called me to challenge on the fact that I'm saying the KKK shouldn't, I'm implying that the KKK shouldn't have free speech rights, let me explain. Although I've explained it before, this is a terrorist organization. And so when the KKK does anything, it is an act of armed intimidation. It's not free speech. That's the way ISIS is treated in the United States, and for good reason. Anything ISIS does is an act of armed and it is an act of armed intimidation. That's how they roll, and we can prove it. And that's the same with the Klan that has, you know, horrific mass of murdered bodies going back 100 years and more. And, 150 years is what I said earlier. And so when the Klan decides to have a march or something like that, what they're saying is, we're going to kill you. It is a threat. And so, no, I don't accord them free speech rights. If you're with the Klan and you say, I'm with the Klan, well, I'm down on you right there. That's all it takes. Because I employ logic. It's not anything more advanced than that. It's just logic. You have a history of killing people. Our killers. The Klan was intended from the start to be a terrorist organization. That's why they have hoods. They produce terror by killing. And then they go and do things so that you will remember that they may kill you. And over the years, I've occasionally gotten a death threat here. Gosh, I've been on the air a long time. And, you know, maybe I could get another death threat. Come on, guys. Just like old times. They won't come around and kill me. Don't have to worry about that. Because they know that, well, I might fight back. And they don't roll that way. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And Jack is on the air.
Yeah, you're talking about state-sponsored false flag provocational terrorism again.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Someone down there needs to be talking about that at least once a day on these morning shows. I'm still waiting for you and Pear to take on Joe and Abe over the issue of, is it state-sponsored false flag terrorism or is it blowback and incompetence? You could take just one case and look at it. Let's look at the underwear bomber. You just brought up the underwear bomber. Boy, that guy, there's so much on that guy that shows that he was a handled asset.
He was set up, yes. That was a stunt.
I don't know how anybody could defend that guy as blowback and incompetence. So that's what I'm waiting for. Thanks for your show.
Thanks for calling in. Well, you know, actually, that's how we do it. We have, you know, Joe and Abe do their thing, and I come on the air and I do my thing, and you remember both, so it seems to me that's kind of working. I have offered a more direct debate. I have not been taken up on that. But, you know, I'm very glad to be able to come on KBOO, and I'm glad that they are able to come on KBOO and do their thing in their way, because it's worthwhile to examine it in both ways. Yeah, that would be kind of fun, and so I'll make that offer again. Would love to have at least an hour-long moderated debate on that, and we could select a moderator, and that would be kind of fun to do. Now, it's 9:30, and that's Pacific time on New Year's Eve. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This is called Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. I have another category that I consider to be pretty pressing. I'm a little fumbly this morning because I didn't sleep last night because the wind was blowing so hard. And it's that dry wind, you know. I don't know. There's something about it. Maybe you're the same way. But it puts me in mind of the fact that the climate is just severely disrupted right now. The situation is so grotesque that I just can't exaggerate. We have methane blasting out of holes in the ground in Siberia over the last year, and we have methane blasting out of the ground in Los Angeles or nearby because of sloppy industrial storage. A volcano of methane. You may want to look that up. And worse, it's tainted with mercaptan so that you can smell it. So everyone there is just choking. A couple thousand of people have been evacuated already. And word is from Erin Brockovich herself that another 8,000 need to be, or maybe another 6,000, need to be evacuated. You heard that on Democracy Now. Temperatures were in the 70s in New York this week. As the new year approaches, there is historic flooding in St. Louis, second highest since 1785 on the Mississippi. So I guess we're entering the told-you-so phase of extreme climate change. The Paris Climate Change Accords were a joke, with the United States insisting that no teeth be put into any agreement and unenforceable goals be set instead. And you know how that works, especially the corporations. They'll wait for you to forget. And if you don't forget and you press them, they'll say, well, there's nothing in writing. That goes for everything, not just climate change. That goes for, I've seen city councils, my whole life has seen city councils be duped by this routine. Developer comes in. And city council says, we need housing for everyone. And developer says, okay, well, I'll build housing. And I want special tax breaks for that. And I'll set aside some for low income. And the city council says, okay, what a great idea, and doesn't get it in writing. And they blow it off because it ain't in writing. And it's the same thing with the climate agreement. The U.S. has basically agreed not to be bound on any goals. It's a joke, except it's a really bloody joke. horrible joke, and it's destroying the entire planet. The Mississippi flooding will, according to the Weather Underground, severely stress the flood control system further south, so you'll be hearing about that in a couple of weeks when it hits Louisiana closer to the 20th January. The Guardian in the UK reports thousands of homes in Northern Ireland, Scotland, the Northeast, and Ireland have been left without power by Storm Frank, Megastorm Frank. The many roads are closed because of high winds. About 300 homes are being evacuated in Hawick in the Borders, and local council is considering similar action in nearby Peebles. Gales of up to 80 miles per hour were so strong that at least four passenger planes were left stranded on the tarmac of Belfast International Airport runway for hours. There are three severe flood warnings. Danger to life. All are in Croston, Lancashire. There are 46 flood warnings. Flooding is expected mostly in northern England. In Iceland, from Iceland Review, quoted in Weather Underground, the severe weather in the East Fjords is among the worst residents have ever experienced. The situation is the worst in Eskifjordur, easy for you to say, where a high sea level land hurricane force wind has threatened the marina. Part of the dock came loose, but rescue workers managed to fasten it. The surf has inundated all the docks and the whole harbor area. Roof sheets have blown off several houses. High tide at 5:30 a.m., but since then water levels have subsided somewhat. They're having a hell of a time. Homes are without power. Deutsche Welle reports meteorologists said a storm centered near Iceland on yesterday was expected to push formerly subtropical Atlantic air towards the North Pole, making the Arctic far warmer than usual. Winter temperatures of minus 30 degrees Celsius is what you'd expect. Temperatures at the winter darkened North Pole Wednesday lay only around freezing point, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 50 degrees higher than normal, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Norway's Spitsbergen Archipelago within the Arctic Circle was experiencing 37 degrees plus. Iceland's meteorological office forecast temperatures from 32 to 38 degrees Fahrenheit combined with extreme winds and high seas. Deutsche Welle reports to the east a huge high-pressure zone sat over Poland and Russia, leaving continental Europe relatively dry but drenching Britain, which faced more rainfall and high seas on the fringe of Storm Frank. Weather experts said a winter storm was historically unusual because of its very low air pressure coupled with high atmospheric jet streams. Similar temperature anomalies have also developed recently over northern Canada and Siberia. On Monday, the Washington Post weather expert Jason Samenow had described the impending North Atlantic storm as mind-boggling. Quoting, "The surge of warm air making a beeline towards the North Pole is astonishing," end quote. Environmental blogger Robert Schibler said the storm system, coupled with two other powerful North Atlantic low-pressure systems, illustrated a truly extreme situation. The anomaly, Schibler said, reeks of a human-forced warming of the Earth's climate. Samenow added, however, that climate scientists still debated as to what extent causal links could be drawn from warming directly to such storms. Another NOAA climate scientist, Jake Crouch, said the El Nino weather phenomenon of exceptional sea surface temperatures in the equatorial Pacific was possibly causing spillover effects in the Atlantic and even Europe. And speaking for myself, all this is taking place in the context of very extreme conditions. And as I reported a couple of weeks ago, plankton around the world, oxygen-liberating plankton, is in danger from global warming. So that's your oxygen. 70% of your oxygen is now in danger from global warming. I hope that gets your attention. Greenland has been melting. And now the North Pole is at melting temperatures today, 50 degrees above normal, an extreme storm all over the north part of the globe making this happen. It's happening now. I do expect scientists to be cautious in making any direct links, and they will. But for someone like me who's been trying to gestalt this situation for decades now, trying to look at this news, it's very clear to me that we are in a global warming emergency. Oh, and the other thing that'll threaten your oxygen levels, good old oxygen. Don't know how I could do without it, is methane and the dreaded methane burst, the clathrate gun. Number to call with your comments and questions on topics covered on this morning's show. I've talked about global warming. I've also talked about police oppression, the way we've set up our police departments. is, you know, when you really look at it, is astonishing. What we have asked our police to do is truly ugly. And as I've often commented, I do believe that it ain't just police. It's people. It's anybody that you put in that situation, that you train that way, that you give those expectations, that you give years and years and years of cop shows on TV and cop movies, you know, where the bad guy is most often a person of color, where the cop is a good guy because he does bad things, where you can't be a good cop unless you break the law. We have trained people so carefully to be absolute armed terrorists. And so now our police are armed terrorists. They inspire terror. That's the whole idea. We've asked them to do that. So now it is up to we, the people, to shut it down. And often when I bring this up, people say, oh, the cops will, you know, cops will really get down on us if we do that. Well, there aren't enough cops. If we all decide that we want to have a different system, we outnumber them 100-1. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of angering the cops, because that is just going too far. Another thing I'd like to say about the police departments is we have fully expected them to be military. We have the Israeli military come in here and train them, and that applies to Portland. And so it shouldn't be surprising that they get out war rifles and shoot us. And we're just going to have to back that off. I mean, we're going to have to shut down police departments across the nation, period. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I would like to see an entirely different method of, well, of policing, for lack of a better word. The Japanese certainly have a better model. The British, everyone has a better model. Everyone, just about, has a better model. And when it comes to mass incarceration, we outdo North Korea. Let's cop to that. We outdo everyone. We have more people behind bars. We have a greater percentage of our population behind bars. We have a terrorist police state, and it must end. It must stop. And we could just stop it. And there is a picket and rally today at 11:30 in front of City Hall to stop it. And triggered most recently by the rehiring of Officer Ron Freshour, who, yes, is evidently one of the more dangerous people. You can find his image on the web. Use a Google image search, and there he is. Best to look at that face carefully, because he is clearly armed and dangerous. Should be treated as such. Watch the hell out. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, your comments and questions. Now, returning to climate change, an article by Deutsche Welle, which nicely summarizes things. In recent years, Arctic sea ice, which normally reaches its peak coverage of the North Hemisphere's peak winter month of February, has had its lowest extent since records began in 1979. This has been the warmest year ever. Greenland's melting ice sheet, a potentially sizable cause of global sea level rises, lost mass between 2003 and 2010 at twice the rate of the whole 20th century, according to the journal Nature. Sea ice retreat is seen as a major threat to ecological systems, including the dependency of species such as walruses on ice layers for mating and giving birth. And perhaps you've seen those pictures of masses and masses of walruses going on to dry land because they didn't have access to their usual ice flows. Exceptionally widespread plankton, they write, plankton blooms had occurred in Arctic coastal areas, including in the Bering Sea between Alaska and Russia. Subarctic fish were on the move northward into Arctic waters, posing risks for smaller Arctic fish from unfamiliar predators, but a boon for Greenland fishermen. In the 1980s, older, thicker ice made up half of the Arctic's ice sheet. At the close of last winter in March, first-year ice made up 70% of the ice pack. Now, talking about that statistic, that can fool you a little bit, because I started off saying in the 1980s, it was measured in the 1980s. That's why I say in the 1980s, that's why they wrote it that way. But the real way to think of it is, for the last 10,000 years, older, thicker ice made up half of the Arctic's ice sheet. And now first-year ice makes up 70%. The warming trend made last month the warmest November in 136 years and marked seven consecutive months of record-breaking temperatures. Number to call with your comments and questions. What are we going to do about that? I suggest an outbreak of democracy. It's quite frightening to Americans, and as Americans, we are unfamiliar with it. But we can do it. We could decide to do it. Democracy requires transparency, and it requires a certain degree of education. And it requires the will to act on behalf of the people and to see what the will of the people is. All those things. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And we have a caller who wants to be anonymous. Hi, Anonymous. What's up?
So, what's going on with escalation and police force? And I'm going to go back to the Reagan administration. Now, I'm only 26 years old. So it goes back to when Reagan first started the war on drugs. They know drugs, all this stuff. The key word war means there's a winner and a loser.
That was Nixon, 73, but go on.
Say again?
So that was Nixon, 73, if I remember correctly, but go on.
Oh, okay. Well, Nixon, and I believe Reagan picked it up afterwards.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that whole terminology, war on drugs, started an escalation within the police force back then. And fast forward 20 or so years to Clinton Bush administration transition, war on terrorism became a hot topic word. And the escalation of police forces happened then. We are now living in a society across America, not just in the Portland area, where prisons, not federal prisons, there are privatized sector prisons, which the U.S. is paying to turn our prison and judicial system into practically a not by fair trial system. People get expedited through the judicial system. You may know this, but the Avery case in Wisconsin, they pushed him through in the 1985. And this is before I was born. And he was pushed through to the point where they didn't even look into a perpetrator of the actual crime, and Mr. Allen. They just wanted to get it done. They just wanted it over with. And that escalation is because right around 1985, that's at the point where cops were being, cracking down on crime and everything because of the presidential administration policies that were going on.
It's
the same thing left over from Bush, and I'm going to shoot at both sides of the fence here. Bush and the Obama administration with their quote-unquote war on terror, war on drugs, war on the border. There's a winner and a loser, and what happens is the American public backs up the spending on militarizing police.
Yeah, I think Obama's just a different flavor of the same thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing up that he maintains the system as it is. You referred to Stephen Avery, born July 9th, 1962, an American convict from Manitowoc County, Wisconsin, who served 18 years in prison for a sexual assault conviction, which DNA analysis later linked to another man. He was exonerated and released from prison on September 11th, 2003.
Correct. But the pressure on that is that the police were, and this is because he did have a small criminal past, but they were so fixated on getting it done quickly because the administrative policies put through the local counties from higher up on the food chain that they didn't figure to actually investigate. It was just local corruption. So when you have these hot topics like war on terror, war on drugs, or war on the border, and it follows down, and this is just a general broad strokes train of thought here, then you have the larger government dictating what the smaller government's supposed to do, and then that even smaller down to the county or even the local police is now rushing to get things done too quickly. Mistakes are made, people die, or people get injured or wrongly prosecuted and convicted. And you have this ongoing cycle of a privatized prison system pushed through with federal funds that we as taxpayers are putting forward.
True that, and appreciate your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Yeah, Reagan really fast-forwarded the incarceration state, and we've been dealing with that ever since. And if you look at the stats, you can see the sad story of Americans being thrown into jail and kept there until we finally achieved the highest percentage of people in jail and the highest number of people in jail in the world. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Derek is on the air.
Hello, I just want to thank you for your incredible work. I have been hearing your voice on the pledge drive and stuff for a few years and just caught a snippet of you talking about 9/11 truth a little bit, probably 3 or 4 months ago on somebody else's show or something. And, you know, this is a program that I usually can't hear because I'm at work, but my gosh, you're like my new favorite KBOO personality. and so I just want to thank you for putting truth out there. Anybody who's, you know, wants to go down the rabbit hole, should check out AE 9/11 Truth. I think that's the best skeptic fighting website that's easily accessible. AE 9/11 Truth.
Cause that's Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Yeah, I depend on that.
I'm sure you're very familiar with them. And, you know, as far as hopefulness for the new year, every time I listen to KBOO in the morning, I hear somebody else call in, and I think to myself, damn, there's another, you know, person out there who understands what's going on, you know, gets the analysis, you know, and everybody, practically everybody who calls in, I'm like, yes, right on. Like, there's another clued in person. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. And so, you know, I actually, you know, in spite of all the craziness, I am hopeful because I see a groundswell. And yes, we're in Portland, you know, but it's got to start somewhere. And so thank you for your work in facilitating all that.
Well, thanks for the boost. And I think you're right. I think it's happening. I think not only is the information getting out there, but people are realizing that they're not alone. And I think KBOO definitely helps with that. Thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And you can get Press Watch and other programs and our audio blogs, podcasts at kboo.fm. And if you miss Press Watch or any show, then you can just pull up the website, kboo.fm. The way I do it often is to look at the schedule until I find the show that I wanted to remember or that I only caught part of. And then I click on that link and you can find the audio and just play it on your smartphone or your computer. And this is Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Ross is on the air.
Hey, it's the fabulous Teresa Mitchell.
Thanks. I'm feeling fabby. It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Well, it's happy for some people, especially the coal companies. I heard a really disturbing report yesterday. I do a lot of opposition research, and I listen to Marketplace, and they have a Energy Watch program, and it's been announced that, like, the largest coal company in the U.S. is going to go bankrupt, and they are self-bonded, and part of that bond is to clean up those massive open pits that they create when they destroy mountaintops and what have you. So apparently their liabilities are double their assets currently. So they have a couple billion in assets and twice as much in liabilities. And so they're not going to clean up the pits. And it's
surprise.
Surprise. Yes, the promise made, like the housing developers, among others, the plutocrats say, oh, we promise. We promise that we'll take care of the little people and we'll continue to protect the middle class. And we just have to quit drinking the Kool-Aid and
the capitalism Kool-Aid.
The Kool-Aid tastes good today and then it kills you. So we got to keep our eyes on people like the coal companies who say it's jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, we're going to make jobs and for sure we'll have all the stuff in place to clean up after the Exxon Valdez and after the BP oil spill. We'll have a plan and we'll have all the tools and all the research and all the resources and all the science is there to clean up our mess if we have one. And then we get caught holding the bag, and they're sailing in the Bahamas. So.
Yeah, the Bahamas,
yeah.
Bermuda, well, Antigua. Oh, yeah, where the money goes. And I have often suggested as a part of my revolution that we're going to fund it by metaphorically grabbing those people by the neck and making them cough up the trillions in offshore assets that have been put there to avoid taxes. Hey, thanks for your call. Remember to call 503-231-8187. And I've been given a great segue, so I want to tell you that there is an article in Counterpunch by Ellen Brown, and it's about bail-ins. And bail-ins, that's something for the new year, something to look forward to. Oh boy, she writes, at the end of November, an Italian pensioner hanged himself after his entire 100,000 euro savings were confiscated in a bank rescue scheme. He had left a suicide note blaming the bank, where he'd been a customer for 50 years and had invested in bank-issued bonds, but he might have better have blamed the EU and the G20's Financial Stability Board, which have imposed an orderly resolution regime that keeps insolvent banks afloat by confiscating the savings of investors and depositors. Stick with me on this. This ain't about Europe. But she writes, some 130,000 shareholders and junior bondholders suffered losses in the rescue. The Pensioners Bank was one of four small regional banks that had been put under special administration. And skipping ahead, the rescue was a bail-in, meaning bondholders suffered losses, unlike the hugely unpopular bank bailouts during the 2008 financial crisis, which cost ordinary EU taxpayers tens of billions of euros. Now, speaking for myself, the reason I'm reading part of this article is because many analysts say that there is a huge financial crisis coming. And yes, it's going to involve the banks, which are super, super top-heavy, with derivatives betting, which cannot be paid off. Derivatives betting, which is in the trillions. And as I said before, Bank of America started, probably started a stampede, but I know the Bank of America put their derivatives assets on the FDIC's rolls where they should not be. They will be the first at the window when the system collapses, and they will get all of that money because there isn't nearly enough money. There are only a few hundred billion in the FDIC, only a few hundred billion, funny to say that, and the derivatives come to trillions and perhaps quadrillions. And, yeah, get your money out of banks. Get your money out of banks. What are you doing in banks? You got a bank account? What are you, crazy? Get a credit union account. At least it might take a little longer to strip it all out of there. But returning to the article, correspondents say Italian Prime Minister Renzi acted quickly because in January the EU is tightening the rules on bank rescues. They will force losses on depositors holding more than 100,000, as well as bank shareholders and bondholders. Skipping ahead again, is there reason for concern in the U.S.? According to a former hedge fund manager, Shag Gilani, writing for Money Morning, there is. In a November 30th article titled, Why I'm Closing My Bank Accounts While I Still Can, he writes, it is entirely possible in the next banking crisis that depositors in giant, too-big-to-fail failing banks could have their money confiscated and turned into equity shares. And it goes on to, the article goes on to explain that, yeah, they can legally do that. And when you see just how legal it is and how quickly it can be done and how it's been set up to happen, you'll be frightened. I think that's on Counterpunch by Ellen Brown. And I think I may have one last caller, and just about 60 seconds. So, Sunny, you're on the air.
Thank you for your broad range of information that you bring to us and your bright mind. I'm thankful for that. And 2016 is going to be an interesting year. Hearts are drawing closer together at the same time that the cowards try to push more and more terror on us. I do see a greater gathering of good hearts, and I'd like to come into KBOO someday and start some soup in the kitchen, and anyone that wants to come in and share a cup of soup and try to get a little bit closer together as neighbors and share, work out a sharing system as we can, I'll try to do that. But I do appreciate your presence, and I appreciate all the people at KBOO. Thank goodness for you. Thank you all.
Well, thanks so much for that. Okay, it's approaching the top of the hour. So we are going to have flashpoints next, I do believe, at 10 o'clock, and you'll want to stay tuned for that. You are listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, going out to you via the giant red and white Eiffel Tower looking transmitter on the West Hills of Portland at 90.7 FM. Other frequencies in Cascadia and via the World Wide Web, where you can join KBOO by clicking kboo.fm. And in that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning. You are listening to the Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland. Just a couple minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and Flashpoints is up next. Today, war and more war in Iraq. Also, we'll hear a frontline report on the battle to get cities, states, universities, and corporations to divest their investments in the private prison industry. And we'll have an update on the battle against nuclear power and nukes worldwide. And then at 11 today, we'll hear a special program on the life and work of blacklisted Hollywood actress Marsha Hunt, who became a humanitarian and activist. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support during 2015. You keep this station on the air. And please think of KBOO in your end-of-the-year giving. We greatly appreciate it.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow on Thursday, December 31st from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Grand entry will be at 1 and 6 p.m. with honorings, Ed Goodell as the whip man, NARA All Nations drum as the host drum, and MC Philip Archambault. Again, that's the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow, Thursday, December 31st, from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center, Hall A and B, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival running through February 8th. Real Music explores the live interplay between sound and image, music, and culture. Saturday, January 16th, will be The Theory of Obscurity,